Welcome to the Tilted Vortex Podcast, a discussion of board games, video games, new technologies, TV shows, movies, and anything else a geek would be interested in.
Welcome everybody to Season 4, Episode 4, our post-PAX convention wrap-up show.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Steve, and we're back from PAX. We survived.
Barely, yeah, I know. We got a little case of the PAX pox.
Yeah, that was a little rough, especially the several days afterwards without power.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about that.
We didn't really appreciate that blizzard to hit right after PAX.
Yep. So, we're here, though. We survived.
Yeah, and we're back on the air for you guys.
So we got a lot to talk about. We won't dilly-dally with too much. Let's just kind of dive in today. With what we want to talk about, right, Steve?
Yeah. I think we just kind of broke it down. We sat together after the con and just said, okay, what would we really like? Would we sort of like? Would we hate? And just kind of put them in those categories. And so we're going to be jumping around a lot of places, but we kind of like decided to classify it this way, see how that works.
Yeah. So let's kind of just dive in and let's talk about the stuff that we thought was really awesome.
Yeah. So starting awesome, I guess one of the first things was in the indie area. We saw that game we've seen last year, a game called Refractor.
Yeah, it was a, it was kind of like a Metroid-like style type game, except, you know, you have this block and it looks like a cube and you move it all around. You can do these special moves and powers that you gain from areas. And then the really cool part I like about it, Steve, is that you basically go to this area and then you lock into this unit, and then what it does is allows you to move parts of the dungeon you've already been in, and then you go back into those, but you go a different way, so that way you can get to a different area of the dungeon that no longer was available. So I like that style, that puzzle kind of is very interesting, and it looked like they kind of went back and kind of revamped a lot of this stuff since the last time we saw them. And they actually remembered us. And we were like, yay, we tried this out before, da-da-da. So it looks like they're progressing really well. I just really can't wait to get my hands on it because it looks like a really fun platform to kind of play through and enjoy. So really excited about Refractor.
Absolutely. And it was nice talking with one of the developers. He's definitely spending a lot of time with the physics model, adding some cool new features. And it sounds like it's getting very close to being released.
Yes.
Next up, one of the areas that we spent a lot of time with Bruiser, who also came with us, was Pit People.
Yes. So Pit People, which formerly was game number 4 by Behemoth. I've been talking about this for years. You can go back into our PAX discussions from prior years and hear about this. So certainly something we're excited about. We really love Pit People, and they added we were able to play the co-op, and the co-op was really, really awesome, so I like where this is going, that you'll be able to play through the full story co-op and do a lot of stuff, and adds a lot of tactical, like you go here and I'll combo with you there and everything. So we've been playing it. We both got the pre-release version on Xbox, which was on sale right after the show. So I've kind of been messing around with that. So really, really excited about Pit People.
Yeah, absolutely. The next thing we really liked was a thing called Hardback, which is a board game.
Yes. So Hardback, if anyone's played Paperback, which is kind of like a spelling game, and you kind of put together the letters, and it's a deck builder. So Hardback is a new version. It's actually technically a prequel to Paperback, because it tells a story of a female author or something of that nature. I guess it's going to be on Kickstarter on April 3rd, so coming up quickly. So I'm definitely very interested in kickstarting this, Steve. Love Paperback. Actually got the designer to sign for it the prior PAX of last year, PAX 2016. Totally excited about this card game.
Yes, a lot of good board games we saw. the next game we liked a lot was a game called Headhunters, H-E-A-D, Hunters.
Yes, this was a Tacticals miniature game. So the miniature actually looked like one of those pop figures, but it was made of plastic. And
it's about the size of a bobblehead type of thing.
A little bit really bigger than that. And basically, you moved it around, so that was your miniature in the game. So in a lot of miniatures games, you have armies and what have you, and that, or maybe like a squad v squad. This was like one miniature versus another miniature, and you kind of went on a, you know, on a table, and it didn't, you know, you just kind of moved around and used cards to do different things and abilities and stuff like that, and rolled dice. And it seemed very simple, but everything kind of was self-contained within that pop figure. So you just kind of opened its head up, and all the cards and dice and everything was contained in there. So really, you could leave them on your shelves very decoratively and be like, hey, do you want to play a game with a friend? Grab two of them, put it on a table, and play a miniatures game pretty quickly, which I thought was really cool. And I guess they're going to come into Kickstarter in May, the designer was saying. And the price point for like two figures with all the stuff you need to play is like $30-35, which I thought was really good for like you and Bruiser could play that type of game, you know, 1v1, right? And to pay $30-35 for a game like that, it's a really good price point to get into. So I thought it was really interesting. So really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. I like just the kind of neatness of being able to carry all the cards with the actual figure all in one thing is kind of a neat idea.
Yep.
One thing I added right at the end here as under awesome stuff was the Gearbox panel on Sunday that we always hit, because they were kind of on my bad side the last year and a half, 2 years, with not being as good as they have been in the past. But this year they really did a great job with the presentation and also with the giveaways.
Yeah, I know. Last year, one of the disappointing points was the Gearbox panel. I think part of it was that the CEO wasn't there. I feel like when he's there, he kind of makes them, you know, do better stuff. Randy Pitchford. They also were like, "Hey, we really want to tell you about about Borderlands 3, but we really don't have much more to show you other than what we're designing." I really felt like they were like, "Hey, we're going to have a lot to show you next year." It almost was like they kind of felt bad about that, though. So they were like, here, take two free games. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, it was kind of cool that they had spent a lot of time showing us all the graphical improvements that they are making in Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
Which shows you, you know, they're definitely deep into it now. But yeah, also getting a free copy of Battleborn with the season pass, and also a free copy of Bulletstorm, the new game that's coming out shortly.
Special edition. Yeah. They gave you everything.
So that was like the best things as far as actual games and stuff we saw.
Yeah.
I also picked up a bunch of games, so I kind of categorized these into awesome just because I got them, so therefore they must be awesome.
Yeah.
I got One Deck Dungeon.
Yeah, we both got that.
That's literally what it is. It's a one-deck dungeon crawler game.
So I actually played through that cooperatively since we got back, Steve. Mm-hmm. And it really was that kind of feel. One thing that I kind of played wrong the first time is that if you start going down in levels, when you go down in levels, not only do you have to defeat what that level needs, you also have to defeat what the prior level needs. So we the person I played it with and myself got through, and we were like, okay, we got there, we barely survived, what have you. But then we're like, whoa, we made that actually easier than what it should have been. So, and we were playing the dragon level, which is the easiest one. So, one thing we thought was like, some abilities seem really, really strong. You're like, this team's overpowered, this is going to make it too easy. No, they need to be overpowered because everything else is so difficult. So
yeah, so if you're looking for a one or two player card game that will kick really your ass, good. Yeah, and challenge you a lot, this is a cool game, One Deck Dungeon.
Yeah,
it's by Asmodee Games.
Yeah.
Another game we picked up, or at least I picked up, was Hero Realms. I really played a lot of this since the con. Kind of forced into it a little bit because the couple days after the con we didn't have power, so we luckily had a few board games lying around to play, and this was one of them. Of those familiar with Star Realms, it's basically the same kind of mechanic. It's just heroes instead of spaceships. But I think it actually works better. I think I like it better than Star Realms.
It's a different feel. Like, now that I played that Hero Realms, and I played Star Realms again, I think each kind of brings a little bit to the table. I think Star Realms is much more about the kind of, like, quick actions, destroy stuff, sacrifice things, what have you. And I think Hero Realms is much more around those champions and what they do.
I think there's more deck building in it.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, I just got the Star Realms new stuff that came in, the United stuff with the multicolored stuff, which is really cool. So I definitely love Star Realms. I'll probably end up getting Hero Realms in the future, and I think I guess both of them, Hero Realms is going to have a cooperative campaign mode coming to it soon. Well, you'll be able to be like, especially with the faction packs, you'll be able to go like, hey, I'm the fighter and you're the cleric, and we're going to do a whole campaign together, right?
Yeah, that could work good.
Yeah, whereas Star Realms is going to continue. It's going to have some type of campaign thing too, but it's going to be more about like missions. So they're definitely going to feel differently. But I mean, I think both are great. The company, you know, has done a great job, and they got more stuff coming down the pipeline. So definitely Hero Realms. If you're into deck builders, you know, kind of deck building with a versus kind of ability. Most deck builders don't have like a versus mode unless you play like something like Ascension. I'd say that's probably the closest thing is Ascension. So,
and it's nice that the different classes with the booster packs, it really does change how you play too.
Yeah, I said that's apparently the best thing about the Hero Realms is those booster packs. So, definitely something great and very inexpensive to get into.
Absolutely, and it's not like there's elite cards and stuff. I mean, everyone would have the same exact thing.
No, so like, I think it's like around $50 you can buy like the game, all the hero packs, all the boosters. You know, and sleeves, a box.
A box, yep.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's White Wizard Games,
yep.
Hero Realms.
Yeah, they're good.
Next game I picked up was Kadinka.
Yeah.
Which is a tile, so very simple concept tile game.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have, 4x4, so 16 tiles of different, there's basically four.
Of each
different,
color. Yeah.
Four different colors, patterns. And one side of the tile has white, one side has gold, and basically you move, two people move the, or actually it's up to four players, but I've only played two player. Each player has an option of different moves they can do to move the tiles, and you're trying to match certain patterns that you have to do. It comes in a nice box that it allows you to carry it around pretty easily.
Yes, magnetic, yep.
It's a nice magnetic box. It's a great travel game or a little game in between games. It only takes like 10 minutes to play. It's pretty easy to explain to pretty much anyone. You know, probably a kid 8 years old or more. Anyone who doesn't play games, it's really easy concepts, and it's kind of fun. So that's Kadinka, and that is by Ninja Division.
Nice.
And then one other game I picked up is 10 Minutes to Kill, which is it's a really cool game. It really is a 10 to 15 minute game. Let's see, you have these tiles that you lay out to make somewhat of a board.
Like a city, yeah.
Like a city, yep. And you have like 16 characters, little stand-up characters that you put on every single block of the city. Mm-hmm. And then you are secretly one of those characters, and all the other players are secretly one of those characters, and your job is to assassinate three of the other characters that are not the other players, and the first person to assassinate all their people without being detected wins. And it's kind of like a deduction, it is a deduction game, and like I said, it's a very quick setup, very quick play.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly easy to explain. There's only like three or four rules, like where you can shoot from,
yeah,
and so forth. So it's kind of another good intro game for people that don't play games, or another quick pickup game. It's a fairly small box.
Yes, definitely.
I like the art on it. It's very well done. That's By Dude Games. Dude Games.
Dude.
Yeah. It says 14 plus, but I think probably 12 is probably a better age range, but it depends on the
concentration. Yeah, Bruiser was able to get a good handle on it, wasn't he?
I mean, oh, yeah, he was beating me pretty easily, as usual. So those are the games I picked up, so I think that wraps up the awesome stuff section. Let's move into some other positive things we saw.
Okay.
Neat thing we saw that is a cool addition if you like to play card games like Magic, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, a thing called Scroll Play.
Yeah, it's basically like you hold it, and it looks like kind of like an old ancient scroll container. I guess that's the best way to describe it, right?
Right, where the play mat is the quote-unquote scroll that's wrapped around this plastic thing.
So yeah, you should basically take it, and it helps roll out the playmat. And then inside, it has containers for, like, your decks of cards or your dice or tokens or what have you in these three different slots. So basically, you hold this container, and it has everything you need to take on the go to have, you know, if you're playing, like, Magic and you want to carry a couple decks and your countdowns and your whatever, you can just take this one thing with you, and it'd all be contained and protected. And it looked really cool too. It's all magnetic and everything, so definitely a really interesting idea.
And it was a fairly good price point. I remember, I don't remember exactly, but it was around the $20 to $30 range. If I remember,
yeah, it wasn't super expensive.
And it's called thescrollplay.com is where you can find that.
Yep. An indie game that we saw, I had seen years ago, was this one called Anne. It's basically. It's kind of like Gradius with these RPG elements, and then you visit planets and all sorts of stuff. And the guy had, like, redesigned it and, like, remade and kept working. It had a Kickstarter, like, 3 years ago. I think I got this because I still have the original magnet, Steve. I want to say it was PAX 2014. Yeah, I think it was 14 that I got it. So he's been in development of this for a while. But he was still at it, which is, you know, a good thing. So I kind of was like, hey, yeah, we saw it years ago. This is what it looked like. And he was talking about the changes. And, like, he's like, it's getting close to being released. And I'm like, well, that's good. So, you know, hopefully we'll see this soon. So, Anne. Another game that I thought was really cool. I don't think you got to play it, Steve, was Songbringer. I think Bruiser got to play it as well. It's kind of like a sci-fi Zelda game, but Zelda in the regards to, like, the first Legend of Zelda. So the overworld kind of has, like, here's one screen, and you do stuff, and then you go to the next screen, and you do stuff, and you go to the next, and you're kind of discovering the world. And then there's dungeons, it looks like, and you go into the dungeons, and then there's things to do there. But the difficulty seemed much higher than the first Zelda, obviously. But that was kind of the style, and it had that kind of like that 8-bit style to it. But I liked the audio from it, and just that kind of exploration style. It was cool. So that's Songbringer, which looks really good.
Next up, we saw something like is called Shrouded Isle by Kit Fox Games.
Yes. So this was a cult village management simulation game. It had a very green art style, so a lot of the colors were greens and blacks and stuff.
Right.
Which I thought looked really cool, like an old, old Atari game or an old. Really, really old computer game when they used to have the green displays. It kind of, like, felt like that, which I thought fit the genre very well. Kit Fox, just so you know, has come out with a couple games prior that I've played before. Most recently, they had that Moon game, was it Moon Riders or Moon Knights? That's what it was. Moon Knights. We played that last year, Steve. I don't know if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was like 4-player cooperative. You could play it and explore, and, you know, it was a religion and what have you. So they've had a couple games that have come out. I think they're based out of Canada. So I've seen her at like the Fig, the designer at the Fig, the Boston Fig, and at PAX as well. So, you know, obviously this is a third game coming out. So, you know, again, as you build more and more games, there's definitely some perfection and some, you know, clarity built to the game. So I'm really interested to see where this one goes. It has an interesting style. So that's Shrouded Isle.
One of the other games I think we mentioned a little bit is Bulletstorm. Yep. Which is a shooter that was out previously, but the Gearbox has redone it. Mm-hmm. They've added Duke Nukem to it since they own that property. We played a bit of it, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it seems, especially that we got it for free. It doesn't look like it also is going to be $59.99. I think it's going to be a little bit cheaper, maybe.
Yeah, I'm guessing either $39 or $29, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, it definitely... you know, definitely was one of those games. It's like, you know, if I get this for this much money and I have a weekend or a couple weekends to blow, I can just run through it and kill stuff and laugh and not get too serious about it. It's that kind of game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely in the Duke Nukem, realm of, you know, kicking ass and
making fun. Yeah, not too much complexity. Like, just run through the levels and kill stuff. I think that's what it really is designed for. So, that's Bulletstorm. There was this game called For the King, which is an online co-op RPG. It's from Irano AK Games. Definitely interesting graphic style and what you can do and what you have to do. I'm really interested in this one. I didn't get to play it, but I got to watch it a little while, Steve, in the indie area. I think it won a couple awards at Fig, not Fig, but with the indie area too there as well. So definitely something that looked interesting, looked a little different. You know, online co-op RPGs obviously are, I don't want to say a flooded genre, but there's definitely a lot to go around in that genre that you can kind of pick and choose what you feel like. So this one looked interesting.
Yeah, I think that's actually Iron Oak Games.
Ah, okay.
But, yeah, definitely looked cool. The next thing we saw that we liked is Hand of Fate 2.
Oh, yes. So there was one up before about this, Hand of Fate 1. But this is like a... The game is really interesting. So it's basically like... parts of it are different. So there's parts that feel like more like a fantasy RPG in terms of you see a 3D character, you're doing stuff, fighting, whatever. But then there's this whole, like, deck building... kind of like a tarot card, you know, fantasy world, choosing type of game. So that's definitely something very, very interesting. And I think that, again, this won some awards because of that. So that's Hand of Fate 2.
Yes, that was kind of cool. Another one we saw that we liked a decent amount was Sundered.
Yeah, this is like really like that. It looks like an action game, but the graphic style and the fluidity is really cool. You know, there's definitely some scaling too, where your character's really, really tiny, and you find these massive bosses. So there's definitely some of that too, where, you know, I just like the art style and how the game flows. So that game looked really, really cool. I guess it looks like a side scroller, but the pace and the fluidity of it, it's really unique. So that's Sundered. There's Readout, which is a racing style type game set in the future. Kind of looks like F-Zero. I think the Bruiser liked this game, didn't he, Steve?
Yeah, actually he did.
Yeah, he likes to start. So, again, racing games aren't a really popular genre, but this one definitely looked like it had a lot of people playing it and what have you. So that's Readout. Then there was a game called Earthlock, Festival of Magic, which was a turn-based RPG. So basically you walked around and then you got into battles. Very similar to an old Japanese-style RPG, Steve. Think, you know, like right. Final Fantasy types, what have you. Yeah. But definitely... You know, it definitely was a play on it in terms of the art style. The guy wouldn't tell me why it's called the Festival of Magic. Obviously, I had to find that out with the plot. But I liked the combat. It was fast-paced. The art style was cool. Definitely very, very interested in that one. Again, all these are indie type gal games. So there was the game called Northgard, which is a Viking civ game. It apparently had elements, looked like Age of Empires, Civilization type game. But I guess one of the things that was interesting about it was that you didn't really control the workers directly. They kind of did stuff according to how you wanted them to be. So, you know, that was very, very interesting too. So that was a game called Northgard.
Another game we liked, board game, was Armello, which is a board game that brought into a video game.
Ah, yes. That was like a, it had like a dark fairy tale style. There was an expansion. I guess it's already out, but they were giving, I looked it up on Steam, and they were giving out expansion stuff to it. But it's basically like, yeah, you're playing a board game, but it's in a video game, and it's like this dark fantasy style. So it was really cool, especially for people who like the board game style. Like, definitely when you play a board game, it has a different style than a video game, right? It's more turn-based, more strategic. I'd say the closest game that's always been a video game but feels like a board game is Heroes of Might and Magic, you know, because you're moving from place to place, you're doing things, you're interacting, right? You know, it's very turn-based. this kind of has that feel. So for people who, like, might live alone and they don't have people that they can interact with board games a lot, these type of games are interesting.
Another game we saw, board game, was Dragoon, which is a game of drag. It's kind of like the reverse of what you typically would play. You actually play the dragons.
Yes. So yeah, you play the dragons, you try to get gold. There was a new expansion out where you actually got to play as like a thief character, and there was another character you got to play. So there's some asymmetric abilities there, and the components of this game are very beautiful, and it's not that expensive if you go online to buy it. In terms of the components you get and that kind of style of moving around and doing different things to collect gold, and, you know, beat, basically gold being the victory points of the game, so it looked really good, and like, people were very nice over there. We didn't get to sit down and play because we didn't have time, but it looked really nice.
Yes, and another game we saw was Zero Sum, the card game, which was a corporate science fi card game where you spend money. So basically, like, you know, the whole theme where corporations now run everything.
Yes.
And there's all kinds of planets, and you can go to different planets and spend money. And
yeah, it was on it's on Kickstarter, or just getting off Kickstarter. It was an interesting kind of plot. Again, wasn't that expensive, but really seemed like a kind of interesting, think terraforming Mars, but more than just Mars. Like, you know, in terraforming Mars, there's multiple different corporations you're playing, and you're all trying to terraform Mars. This was like, you're out in space, and there's all these different planets, and corporations are kind of like competing to kind of like do different things to get more money. So there's a game called Regalia, which is like a tactical RPG. Think Final Fantasy Tactics, Fire Emblem style. It's coming out April 27th, so very close. You can find them on Facebook, a Regalia game. Again, very interesting. They said they were very going for that Final Fantasy Tactics type feel, and I could definitely feel that there. With a lighthearted anime style type theme. So it seemed pretty interesting. I got to play it for a few minutes. Definitely very tactical, moving things around. So that's Regalia.
The next game we want to talk about mentioned is a game called Thornwatch, which they describe it as a storyboard game RPG that plays in under an hour. It's in the very, very early stages of the game. I think they're based on the Penny Arcade characters and artwork. Is that right?
Yeah. So basically, there's some comics that are a series, and Thornwatch is one of them. I guess it's basically like, if you were a kid and you woke up and you were in like a magical forest type of thing, right? I think that was kind of what they were going for. I'm not as familiar with this theme, but basically they were describing the game as, you know, if you sit around and play D&D, right, it takes many hours, and there's combat, and there's also RPG elements. This was like, think that, but less focused about the combat and more focused about the story. And that the person who was like the DM was really like guiding the story along, But you could play it in shorter pieces. So, like, if you had a bunch of friends over, you could play for an hour and do, like, a sort scenario. So I thought that was really interesting. They have stuff coming later this year. They felt pretty confident that it was closer to done than it looked like. So, you know, I have to keep an eye on that. But that's Thornwatch. They had a bunch of playtesting areas for it.
Yeah, it looked interesting. Has potential. We'll see. It might be a good thing to check out at PAX Unplugged.
Yep.
Pixel Noir.
Yeah, so it's a detective RPG adventure. It has a very interesting art style, Steve, and music. They were over in one of the corners. SWDTechGames.com. Kind of felt a little bit like Shadowrun. But, you know, again, more like, you know, that kind of detective walking around. There's some RPG elements. You're trying to investigate stuff. Really didn't get to spend a lot of time with it, but it looked very interesting. So it's definitely something I'm going to keep my eye on, Pixel Noir.
The next thing is switching gears over to Halo Wars 2, which is a real-time strategy game based in the Halo world.
Yeah, and this game's already out, but, you know, neither of us have got it. I loved the first Halo Wars. Halo Wars 2 was interesting. There was we played a different mode than the original mode. This right. one was like, you know, you had so many units to start with. Every time you did something, it gave you some money. You got to drop in more units. You were trying to, like, hold these different flag points and kick, you know, defeat waves and waves of energy of enemies cooperatively. Each of us kind of controlled our own little group of color.
It kind of felt like RTS meets MOBA kind of style.
Yeah, at least the mode we played. I know there's more of a traditional RTS style. So, you know, definitely different modes, which I thought was cool. So that gives you more replayability. But this is definitely some game, like, you know, if you drop down to $20 or $30, I think, you know, you and I would kind of get into it and mess around with it, you know, what have you. But, it, you know, it flowed really well. It worked well. So it definitely, Halo Wars 2, if you're into that style of games, definitely check it out. there's also a game called SteamWorld Dig 2. This was really interesting, Steve. This game kind of really looked like a Spelunky type of game. You know, I was trying to ask the guy a little bit questions about it. You know, you're kind of digging around, you're getting jewels, you're going from area to area.
The really
interesting thing about it is that it's coming out for the Switch. You know,
with that would be a good game.
Exactly, because you can bring it with you and you can kind of do these short little areas. And I just felt like that style of game, right, fit the Switch so well. So
it kind of looks like Terraria a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It has some Terraria elements, some Spelunky elements, depending on the zone. You said, oh, yeah, this one looks a little more Spelunky-ish because of the environments, but we have a lot of different environments. So I thought it was very, very interesting.
Next up is a board game called Vast.
Yeah, this one was over by the area where Dragoon was. this game is it's basically an asymmetrical game where everyone plays a different type of character. So someone can play as the dragon, someone can play as the knight, someone can play as the thief, someone can play as I think there were goblins, and then also there was, you could actually play as the cave. So everyone
had different
objectives of what they wanted to do, like the cave wanted to crumble onto itself, so kill everybody else that was in the cave. The dragon wanted to keep its gold. The knight wanted to kill the dragon. The goblins wanted to kill the knight. The thief was trying to steal money. So everyone was trying to do their different thing. So I really thought that was very, very, very interesting. You know, kind of a lighthearted, fun game where everyone's playing differently. And, you know, and the great thing about that is that no one can tell you how to play your character if their character plays completely differently. I think that's one of the great things about a game like that, is that you're kind of on your own, especially as a newer player. You don't feel like, well, this player has played 40 times, he's going to tell me what to do. No, everyone plays differently. So I think that's very, very interesting. So Vast was good.
Another good game we liked was Dauntless.
Yeah, this is a four-player co-op kind of... It's very similar to Monster Hunter, except, you know, they actually said they took a lot of inspiration from that. you have these 20 to 30 minute encounters, you're running cooperatively, you try to kill a monster, it drops loot, you take that loot, you make better armor, which makes you stronger, you fight other monsters, do this rinse, repeat. So definitely DMEX type of game.
So there was no leveling up of your character. It was all equipment based. Yes. At least for now.
Yeah. So, you know, DMEX definitely let the charge against this monster that we fought and definitely died first, as predicted. So, you know, certainly it has some potential.
Early and often. Yes. Early and often.
This game is obviously in very early stages, but there's some beta coming later this year, I think, on it. So definitely keep an eye on it. And it's free to play, I said. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Yes. And the next game that we saw a huge advertising for but couldn't really find it was a game called Rime.
Yeah, so there was one area to play with it over in the PS4 section, and it was always taken, and there was always a line. So it's basically very puzzle-like, like Zelda, but this beautiful art style with light whites and blues and different things like that. It's coming out on multiple platforms, but PS4 was the only one that had it. But again, yeah, there was a lot of advertisement for it, but not many places to play it. But definitely very, very interesting game. It's kind of very similar to Hob in terms of style of like kind of Zelda-ish, walking around, platformy, three-dimensionally, kind of going here and there, figuring out puzzles and trying to fight stuff off. But definitely this one was especially more focused on the puzzle aspect from what I was watching gathering in the 15 or 20 minutes I watched it. So that's Rime, R-I-M-E.
Another one probably everyone's heard of is Mass Effect Andromeda, which was in the Xbox area.
Yeah, so this has come out, obviously, to mixed reviews. You know, there was a lot of places to play it there with long, long, long lines. You know, continue that kind of co-op feel from Mass Effect 3 where you can do some missions cooperatively but can't play the story cooperatively. Obviously, it has a long, voice-acted, massive universe to kind of find things in. But, you know, there's some tech issues with it and what have you. There was a lot of focus around it. We didn't get to play it because we didn't want to waste 3.5 hours waiting in line for a game that was coming out a week later. So, you know, we'll kind of leave that up to you in terms of it looked okay, but we'll leave it up to you if you like it and read reviews on it. So that's Mass Effect Andromeda.
Another board game that we saw, I think they even had an expansion for this, was Clank.
Yeah, so there was Clank and Clank Sunken Treasure. This game is very popular right now, Steve. It's like a deck builder with like adventuring and push your luck, and you're basically trying to go down into like a dungeon and like steal jewels and money and treasure and get out before you die.
The significance of the game is like you don't make noise or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some of that too. And then Sunken Treasure actually adds different maps and extra treasures and stuff that are like sunken under like a pirate ship or what have you. The game sold out. It came back in stock. I was going to order it, and then it was sold out within like 10 minutes. So it was, the tables were constantly full, and we got to watch them for a little while, and it looked really, really interesting with this whole deck-building mechanic and pushing your luck and adventure. So definitely keep an eye out for Clank if you're into that type of style of game of deck-building and what have you. But it's been very, very popular. It's been selling out constantly, so...
Yes, and one other game we did play is called Raid World War II. Basically like a Wolfenstein game like we played last year, I think it was. But it's
2 years ago, I think it was.
2 years, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Day of Defeat, another game like that. It has a ton of swearing, but it has some interesting co-op missions.
Yes, very lighthearted game. The graphics weren't like... something to be amazed by. It was more focused on, hey, you just get to go in with a bunch of buddies and do these missions and swear and just do stuff that's fun, right? It didn't seem that... And the mission didn't take long. We just did one mission together, and it was kind of cool.
It seems like it looked almost like a CSGO, like, you know, a few-year-old type of game.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was fun. I can't see the price point being $60 for something like that. It's either going to be, like, free-to-play or $20 or something like that. But definitely was fun, which is the idea behind a game, right? We were we were actually impressed getting out of it. We didn't think it was going to be as good of a game. So, yeah, that's Raid WW2.
Yep. Some stuff we thought was meh includes this thing, Gatekeepers. Do you know about that?
Yeah, it's a card-based fast RPG. It looked all right. Favehaven.com. You know, certainly it was. It looked okay from what we saw. Quake Champions is something we saw first day, and we were actually from Bethesda, and we were actually kind of disappointed by this, Steve. It was a multiplayer shooter, you know, and after, you know, Doom last year, you know, we were definitely looking forward to this, but definitely it was, you know, all focused on multiplayer, and we didn't, I don't know, I didn't feel good about it. It didn't feel like Quake to me. What do you think, Steve?
I mean, it was okay, but I guess because it who was from Bethesda, I had higher expectations of it.
Yep.
It seemed like something I had played before, and
yep, definitely.
And so I wasn't really wowed by it.
No, I definitely would be like, I don't know what the price point of something like this is going to be, and when it's fully going to be out or what have you, but I'm not impressed.
It's definitely not something I would spend $60 on.
No. I was hoping they would do something like Doom, like have an old, like remake Quake, do the campaign, and have an awesome multiplayer with it.
Right.
You know, so I'm kind of disappointed in this. There was another game called Decay of Logos. It was basically this girl, like, and this Hulk companion, and they're kind of walking around. It was good graphics, but it was all right. It wasn't that fun, at least in my opinion, Steve. I don't know what you thought.
You know. No, I wasn't. I didn't.
Yeah.
I spent like 30 seconds on it and kept walking.
Yeah. There was another game called Project High Rise, which was an architect kind of developer. You built these skyscrapers, and then you looked at the high rise from the side view, and you kind of did things.
I think they even had an expansion or another game called With Las Vegas or something.
Yeah. But it didn't look that exciting to me based off what, you know, I briefly interacted with it. But, you know, it could be wrong, but it was kind of eh. The last game, Bruiser actually liked this a lot, was called Has-Been Heroes. It has side-scrolling mechanic, and you kind of clicked in and interacted, what have you, but I didn't enjoy it that much. I know it's coming out for the Switch. Maybe I just didn't understand it because no one kind of helped me with it.
Right.
But Bruiser, like I said, it was all about it, and I know it's coming out for the Switch, so, but I kind of find it eh, but maybe I just need to take another look at it. So I would go into it with, you know, some caution.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. I mean, it wouldn't be my first game to get for Switch, but wait for some more detailed reviews.
Yep.
And then a couple things we had to mention that we just didn't like at all. One of them was Locke's Quest. I think you actually tried this.
Yeah. So we walked by a couple times, so we're like, oh, that looks like a game that I would enjoy, right?
Right.
And then I actually played it, and within 5 minutes, I was like, please get me away from this game. And I don't mean an offense to the guy who's developing it. It's just, it was a tower defense game, and it basically had this weird trigger commands of, like, how to do stuff with the character. So basically, it was very Dungeon Defenders-ish, where you have a hero, he does stuff, and you lay down your defenses before the battle.
A minute or two to defend yourself,
Yeah, but, like, I was not feeling it whatsoever. The graphic style was not my thing. The defensive things were not that good. How you use these trigger commands to fight with your guy. No, and it was no, like, I don't know, it was just a bad demo. I got not a feel for it. And maybe if you had a better demo, I could understand it better, but no. Not a good game, from my opinion. Another one that I kind of was excited about, Steve, beforehand with the tabletop indie area, was this game Apocalyptica. So it told me that the final copy... it was a final copy look, but it hasn't been kickstarted yet. So there was some misinformation I was given. I didn't really like the play style, really. It didn't seem to have any direction. You're basically a bunch of survivors, and you had to choose, and, like, things would happen to the surviving area. Like, you know, this room would get destroyed, and then you'd have to try to fix it and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't get a good feel for the game. you know, the graphic style. Maybe they haven't done anything graphically to it again, but again, he was saying it was close to, I don't know. It's just, I wasn't getting a good feel, a good, you know. Again, this was in the indie area where there was other games that I was getting a good feel for, like the Headhunters and et cetera, et cetera. This game obviously was right next to it, and I was like, wow, look at the production difference. Look at the explanation difference. I don't know. Maybe when they redo it and they go through the Kickstarter, it'll be different, but I just wasn't getting a good feel for it. So that's Apocalyptica. Again, a game about a post-nuclear war. You're in a survivor bunker, and you got to make decisions and what have you. So,
And one last game that we tried last year and we still don't like, and we won't have to say much about it, but it's just Lawbringers.
Yeah.
It's just not our style game. I'm sure there'll be a cult following for it because of its certain style of game people like, but
yeah,
it just isn't for us, and no point in belittling it. So
no, we weren't gonna sit in another 2-hour line for a game that we know, like, we looked at it and they're like, they haven't done much since last year.
It's more of the same.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't feel like it's that innovative. Yeah, I know they're like, oh, you can jump up and there's all this like aerial motion to the game and what have you, but it doesn't seem very impressive.
If you're into like PvP
shooters,
then it's probably something you might want to look at, but otherwise,
yeah. No.
So anyways, that kind of wraps up our things we saw. Do you want to mention anything else that we did or didn't do?
No, I would just say this year again, the indie area outdid the really AAA area.
Yep. I would also like to say that you broke your personal record of how many free Cokes you could get.
Yes, 11 or 12, I think I get. No, it was more than that. I got it on.
You lasted all 3 days.
Lasted all 3 days. The cup. This is by our tips, by the way. So listen to our tips. So I would say it's almost 15. It was like 14.
So for $5 or $4, what was it?
$5 because I got the larger cup. I got the larger cup because I wanted it to last. I didn't want to have to go back as often.
Right. So. That was pretty amazing, I have to say.
Yes.
It was probably about $100 worth of soda, but...
Oh, yeah. Five times 15, or 14, that'd be...
$75.
$75 worth of soda for $5. So...
There you go.
Again, I bought the cup. I was there. They don't say how they limit you to the free refills. If I bought it there during that instance, then there's no big, you know.
There will be a security guard there next year to make sure you don't show up, but okay.
Well, again, if there's a security guard there, right? You can't, not everyone can sit in the cafeteria. It's impossible. So if you said the people who leave it can't get a refill in soda, you can't do that because there's not enough seats for everyone who buys that legitimate refillable soda in there, which again, it's not like I didn't purchase the refillable soda. I did. I just stretched my lunch over 3 days rather than an hour.
Well, one other thing is that the place we just liked that they was this year was the first year was the Twitch Lounge, which yes. They had a lot of nice, comfortable furniture.
And they had free
drinks,
free sodas and waters, and some snacks there too that you could have during the day as well. So
they also had a ton of charging stations.
Yes, those were good. I left my cable in.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's that, too.
But
they also gave out really nice bags if you followed through on the scavenger hunt.
Yes, or if someone left them there next to Hero Realms and walked away from them.
anyways, so that pretty much wraps it up. We're looking forward to it being in April next year and not freezing our asses off.
Hopefully it'll be in April next year. We'll see.
Although it's snowing right now in April in Boston, so who knows.
So I would say, you know, we might do PAX Unplugged this year. I'm definitely thinking about it. We're definitely going to do PAX East next year, 2018. But we'll be looking to try to do some more stuff as press, hopefully. And being able to get more access to give it to you guys.
You know, and if you're a gaming company that wants us to check out one of your games, you know, feel free to send it to us. We we often look at games and give reviews, so just send it to us and we'll take a look and we'll be happy to review it.
Yeah, more of a reaction. You know, that's kind of our thing, kind of to give you our opinion, kind of how we feel about stuff. We're not going to nitpick things. That's not our approach. We really more about our overall feel. Does this game make me happy? Do I enjoy it? Is it a good experience? That's really where we're more focused here as the Vortex. Is it good value for what I'm paying for, et cetera, et cetera. So, PAX, another successful one this year, Steve.
Yep, so look forward to doing our summer movie previews next. I mean, April is coming up really quickly.
Yeah.
Winter will start to go away.
Hopefully,
This summer, quote-unquote summer movies will start in April, essentially.
Yeah.
And we'll do our previews of the movies coming up.
Definitely.
We're all looking forward to that. And then we'll do some episodes of other things that are coming up over the summer. So look to that.
Season 4 should be a good season for us. We got a lot of stuff coming. We're really going to try to pump out the content this spring and this summer. So stay with us. Give some reaction. We're hoping the Vortex grows this year. We've been around again. This is season 4. So stay with us, and hopefully you'll enjoy the content that's coming.
All right. Until then, have a good time. Enjoy.
Take it easy.
Thank you for listening to the Tilted Vortex podcast. You can find more great information at tiltedvortex.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/tiltedvortex and on Twitter, follow us at Tilted Vortex. We hope you join us next time on the Tilted Vortex podcast. Our theme music provided by podcastthemes.com.